Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Word is out, they're gonna talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler, won't say it twice cause we're already.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 711, while Joe drinks from Quick Trip.
Man, we screwed that sponsorship deal up. We have one chance.
This is why.
This is it.
And people are like, I like Real Spoilers. They don't have ads. Like, that's
just
this is why.
Yeah, we don't know what we're doing.
Why? Unless, I guess I should say, unless Acast crams something in to pay for the hosting.
Gets a little sneaky.
Yeah, people
sneak
are like,
there.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I hear ads all the time. And we're like, yeah,
we don't have ads.
We don't really notice that.
Acast crams ad in there, so we don't have to pay.
It pays for hosting. Yeah, exactly.
So,
gotcha.
Amsterdarn.
Amsterdang.
That's good because I didn't want to have to pull the chicken noise out.
Yeah.
FCC rules.
Amsterdam.
All right, Blink-182.
How about Amsterdam? Damn it, why wasn't this better? But before we get to that, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Quick shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find a podcast. You can find us while you're there. Maybe leave us a review. That's always helpful. Follow us so you never miss an episode. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, maybe share an episode with a friend. It's the best way that you can help us find new listeners, right?
The cool kids are doing it.
People, and here are a list of cool kids
that's right.
who did it. Ralph Tribble, Christopher Rex, Josh Rosen, Tammy Lynn Powers, Betts, Chris Valls, Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, Heather Sachs, Glenn Cougar, Mellon Brewer, Chris Magic Man, Spoiler Piece Theater, David Rojas, L is not. What?
Okay. Oh, okay. I was hoping. Yeah. Every week? I wait a whole week
to find out how she's doing.
Okay.
Yeah. Synth Prince 7, Mike, and Oscar, Colby Told Me, Akin by TV. I think I'm saying that right. Okay. Matt Neglia, Chris Williams, Invasion of the Remake, Ryan Terry, Ronnie Castle, Vertigay 314, Binge Movies, In Session Film, Geek to Me Radio, and Feel and Film. So thank you very much for sharing an episode.
Yeah,
we greatly appreciate it. If you didn't share an episode last week, we just assume you're homophobe. So that's how that works.
Somebody feels that way.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Also, finally, don't forget we have a Patreon, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out. And here's a great way to like, if you didn't share it last week and you're like, now I'm a homophobe and you want to prove you're not a homophobe, just sign up for the Patreon.
There you go.
It's the best easiest way to show the world,
prove it,
you're not a homophobe.
That's right.
Yes.
So I will say, as regarding the Patreon, Matt and I have recorded.
Oh, we didn't ask.
Well, I want to put it out there. Matt, the Evil Dead, Ash versus the Evil Dead season one is in the can and done. We kind of touched on season two and three just a little bit, but no, we're not going to do season two and three.
Oh.
I will say, though, we are going to do the new Hellraiser. That will be next week. We will cover the new Hellraiser. I think there might be a special episode on there as well.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe. Starring the Patreon guest star, Kevin Brackett.
Oh, wow. if he gets invited.
That was my fault. My apologies. I did not know that was a thing.
That one that got rescheduled an hour before the show last week.
That
got rescheduled without
correct.
Me knowing.
Also correct. That is on me. Oops.
Oh.
Whoops.
So anyway, there's all of that. Let's dig in.
I did not realize this was a detective story. I thought this was like a heist movie.
Okay.
I had no idea what it was. I watched it based
on the trailer. Like, yeah. I get like it's got this kind of like wackadoodle vibe to it. Like it wants to be kind of light and fluffy, even though it gets kind of serious at the end. But like,
but it's David O. Russell, who has really made some great films.
Has he done something since American Hustle? Did we miss something, or was that the last one?
Silver Linings Playbook.
Which I think is fantastic.
Going back, he did I Heart Huckabees and Three Kings. But he did Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, and I feel like there was one more.
Was it? It wasn't before. That mop movie, was it?
Well, that's the one that he made like 6 years ago, and this is his follow-up. Like, he didn't make a movie for...
So he did make something. Joy is in between American Hustle and this.
Okay, and what's...
Right?
Go back.
I was asking.
No, I think that's right.
Oh, yeah. Joy is 6 years ago was his last movie.
Okay.
So that one was pretty
real bad.
Panned. It's not good. We did an episode on it.
So he did Spanking the Monkey.
Oh, what year is that?
94. Was that him? I didn't realize that was him. I remember seeing that movie. That was Art House Darling about a guy who bones his own mom.
Oh.
So,
and then
Flirting with Disaster.
Oh, that's a good movie. Is that Dennis Leary?
No, it's Ben Stiller.
Okay, what's the Dennis Leary one where he's like he kidnapped the couple? Is it the ref?
The ref. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Three Kings.
That's the one that he got punched by George Clooney.
Okay.
And the fist by George Clooney.
And then The Slaughter Rule.
Familiar with that.
With a young Ryan Gosling.
Oh. Okay.
So, wait, no, he's not a director. He's a producer.
Oh, okay.
My apologies. He's listed as an executive producer on Anchorman.
You hit your wagon to whatever might make some money.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it wasn't Anchorman.
I don't know how he got looped into that world, you know. But he also doesn't appear to be attached to Anchorman 2, so make of that what you will.
Yeah.
And then I Heart Huckabees, The Fighter, Silver Linings.
Oh, The Fighter.
The Fighter, yeah. Silver Linings.
Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle.
Those three in a row.
Yeah.
And then Accidental Love?
No idea what that is.
An American romantic comedy film directed by David O. Russell and written by Russell, Kristen Gore, David Jesser, and Matt Silverstein, based on Gore's 2004 novel, Sammy's Hill. The film stars Jessica Biel, Jake Gyllenhaal, Catherine Keener, James, and then it stops telling the things and they have to click through.
Garner.
So, we don't have the bandwidth for that. We don't have the funds.
Hey, just put a new video card in the thing.
That came out the same year as Joy, 2015.
Okay.
And then,
interesting. Yeah, I don't know. That's weird.
Then Amsterdam.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been a long time, but I mean, we've never heard of the other one.
Right.
We know Joy wasn't good, so he took a little break.
Okay.
But how did a David O. Russell movie come out in the same year and none of us have heard of
that's
it?
That's a good...
Well, yeah, I mean, we didn't talk about it when we talked about Joy.
We did
we've
not.
Never...
Maybe it was like a one of the... I don't know. Maybe it was like straight to DVD
you
or
sure
something.
You sure he directed
or...
that one?
Wikipedia is never wrong.
Okay, well, that's all you have to say.
But he's listed as director and writer.
Okay. Well, I think he writes most of the stuff anyway.
Yeah,
that he directs.
So right. Okay, so it's been a while since we've seen him, and
it's
he puts together an all-star cast.
Well, So Christian Bale has kind of like his muse, right? So he was
the fighter
and American Hustle.
American Hustle, yeah.
I guess not Silver Linings Playbook, but
yeah. And Robert De Niro is in Silver Linings Playbook.
He's in American Hustle
and in American Hustle.
So I mean, you've got him. I don't think he's worked with Margot Robbie, David Washington wasn't a thing.
Neither one of them.
I guess 6 years ago. So,
yeah, neither one of them.
But
weren't.
They're both phenomenal. They're both.
I think if this has a lesser cast, this is even worse.
I don't think this is bad.
It's
I think
not
this is
bad.
Middling. It's
yeah,
just,
like
it
aggressively average.
It starts off really good. And then that third act, man, it drags and goes on and this, and it's just trying to twist and whatever. I'm like, it just doesn't land.
But
to
also,
me.
The twist that they're doing, like, you kind of have to be a moron to
it's not really a twist. I mean, you know that someone's behind this whole thing that we'll get into, but like when it does, you're just like, okay, we knew it was powerful people in charge. It's like it just right. doesn't land but like we, you're like, oh my God, we've solved the mystery. It's just kind of like, when that's they, what it was?
When yeah. they show the symbol of the five, whatever it was, I remember looking and be like, oh, they're Nazis.
Looks yeah. like a Nazi symbol.
That's exactly what that is. Yeah.
It's a not a swastika.
Yeah, right. It's a five yeah. and an S just turned right. around weird.
Yeah.
But we're post-World War One, right? So the Nazis...
Right, it's 1933 is when the meat of this movie takes place. Right. And then okay. the flashbacks are 1918. Yeah.
I thought this was... I did not realize that this was a detective, basically. It's a mystery. Maybe not yeah. a detective, but a mystery. And
you have...
I think that, like, with the other three, right? Those three that we mentioned, The Fighter, Silver Linings Playbook, oh. and American Hustle, mm-hmm. There's emotional stuff in there, and like you've got the performance of Jennifer Lawrence. There's some prestige with those three movies,
sure.
and they're outstanding performances, yeah. and they're gut punches of stories. I think Silver Linings Playbook is kind of my favorite out of those three.
Yeah, I love all three of those. They're so good. I think this one, I do like what he's trying to do here with the quirky comedy, and I really enjoyed that part. And I think when it started to get serious, when it changed tone, like you can do both in a movie. You can have this quirkiness,
sure.
but get heartfelt and tackle serious subject matter, but the whole movie takes kind of a shift, and they kind of stop doing the quirky comedy, and it just felt off from the whole tone of the first two acts to me.
But then they go back to it with the whole scene at the very end where Christian Bale's high as a kite.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's.
I think that's their attempt to try and keep maintain
to like put
the
something.
Tone.
But yeah, it's something but, about and it just went forever. That yeah. party went forever.
yeah.
I'm like, you could cut 10 or 15 minutes because we get what you're doing here. We yeah. get you're having this party and people are performing music. It just kept going back to Rami Malek and back to yeah. Christian Bale, back to Margot. It bounced around so much in this thing. We're like, get to the speech that you're leading up to. It took forever to get there.
It did.
Right. And this
no,
movie
agree.
Is and, over 2 hours, right?
And it's like two and a half.
So
it's, yeah, I think it's,
I guess to your point,
I think it's 2:15, but yeah.
So I mean, cut it to two yeah. and that it's going to feel a lot tighter.
Yeah.
I will also say when De Niro gives that speech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, he is phoning it in.
Oh,
like
really?
That's supposed to be like the everything's building up to this big yeah. passionate speech, and it just
you mean the one where he gives the reveal.
Yeah, it yeah. just sounds like he's reading it.
Really?
Like yeah, I didn't think that. I mean, that
I
was
mind of that. I was like, man, this feels good to have De Niro. Like I haven't seen De Niro in a. We've seen him in some like comedy things,
right.
like and you know, The Irishman was what it was, but I'm like to see De Niro actually kind of. Doing stuff with a little bit meatier.
I mean, he was doing stuff in Irishman. It was slow, but
oh,
like, you can't.
I know, but that's because the de-aging was so distracting. I
yeah.
just, it was just nice to have it be like, this is De Niro at this age in this role.
I just didn't think when, like, everything builds up to the speech,
yeah.
and it just, his read on that speech was.
He was better in the scene before. When
yeah.
they met when the three of them met
yeah.
him for the first time.
Yeah, like he wasn't bad in the movie. I mean, it's De Niro.
Right.
But it was like, when he got to that speech, I thought it was going to, like, this needs to be
George
like,
C. Scott and Patton.
Yeah, like a rabble rousing kind of speech.
That's true. And I guess it didn't hit like that because to me, I didn't think about it that way. And I was maybe so happy. I'm like, oh my God, the speech.
It's finally ending.
We're finally here.
Seriously, because I'm in that scene. And again, I enjoyed this movie, but I think the wheels fall off in the third act. And I was so happy to finally get to that speech. But did you guys notice, was Christian Bale doing a De Niro the whole movie?
I don't know.
His inflection of his voice sounded like he was doing De Niro.
See, to me, I thought he sounded like Peter Falk. I thought he kept yeah. slipping
oh,
into Columbo. Like,
oh,
just one more thing, man.
That's
oh.
true.
Like,
to me, when
okay.
the way he talked in his body language with his hands.
Because he had this weird accent where I was just like, is he Italian? Is he Jewish?
Is he from New York?
Yeah. Is
like,
he from Jersey? Like, I don't
yes.
really get what's going on.
And
also,
always was,
if you're going to give somebody a fake eye, then give him a fake eye. Like, his glass eye moved the whole movie.
A lot
but I think it was
yeah.
it supposed to?
That's not how glass eyes work.
But a lot of the times.
Don't think
in the movie, it's his regular eye. You
yeah.
can tell it's moving around.
Like, then give him, like, a contact
yeah.
that replicates a glass eye.
Sure.
Like,
and they
just,
did sometimes, but then sometimes they didn't.
Only, the only time they seemed to do it was when it was
a
he was,
plot point.
It was a plot point yeah. that was falling out.
Right. It does fall out a lot.
Yeah.
He loses that eyeball a lot.
It was really funny when he was standing there talking to someone and the eye starts shifting the other way. I'm like, well, they did it there. There was a moment where he's talking
yeah.
to someone. You see it was kind of
starts
played for
like
comedy,
move.
Clearly, and it's looking the other direction. It just with his like
yeah.
frazzled.
To what you're saying about De Niro is I remember when he, because he was not advertised in American Hustle. It
oh.
was like a surprise cameo.
Okay.
And he's playing like mob boss.
Old school mobster. Like,
and you were like,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And this is pre-Irishman, so you hadn't seen him do that in a while.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, there he is. That's what I'm with. I don't need dirty grandpa.
See, and there, that, you know, that's a moment that worked, right? Everything builds up to this mob boss.
Yeah.
Everybody's scared to death of him. And then you finally see him and it's De Niro. Right. And you're like, yeah, that tracks.
The scariest of scary mob bosses.
Right.
In film.
Well, yeah,
Katie and I thought that maybe he was playing an older version of the Christian Bale character because we thought he sounded like Robert De Niro. So our theory was,
you think
that
there was time travel?
No, you can show an older version of a character without time travel, time jump.
Oh,
which,
yeah,
you know, technically,
I guess there is a time jump.
Yeah.
So we thought maybe that was where we were going because we didn't see the trailers or anything. Maybe Katie did, but I was like, oh, maybe, I don't know.
This, it's weird because this trailer looks like the Babylon trailer.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember which was which. Oh. Because Margot Robbie is in both of them.
There's a huge cast and Margot Robbie's in both of them. Yeah.
And I was like, wait.
But yeah, this felt like when Coen brothers try to be funny.
I agree.
And like, and
Coen brothers are funny in a lot of things.
And some things.
Yeah.
And then there's like,
but
Burn
said
After,
try to be.
Well, okay, Burn After Reading. Did you laugh once in that movie?
I think ironically, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, not.
I didn't hate that movie, but I mean, it's not as good as the Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Like, yeah, that one just didn't work for me at all. And but it felt like that to me, but like not as good.
Okay.
Yeah,
because I'm like Fargo and Oh Brother Where Art Thou,
Raising Arizona.
Yeah, I mean, Coen brothers are funny. And
but
when you try, I'm like,
but Irreconcilable Differences is like, eh. And then what's the
Simple Man?
I liked the George Clooney, Catherine Zeta-Jones one.
That's
Rules of Attraction.
Not
Irreconcilable.
No, that's the Drew Barrymore.
See, it's that's not the one.
What is it?
Intolerable Cruelty?
There we go.
I like that movie a lot.
It was better than Burn After Reading. And then what's the one with Tom Hanks?
Oh, The Lady Killers.
The Lady Killers.
That's a remake of the Jack Lemmon movie. Yeah.
So, like, that's, I mean, they don't always stick to
Llewyn Davis is pretty good with Oscar Isaac.
But is that, that's
not funny.
A comedy, though.
Oh, but, I mean, they put
there
the, like,
are
dark
moments of humor
that,
in there, but that
Llewyn
Davis
the,
is like, that movie's just, what a waste of time.
But I like it.
I mean, like, I was just, then it gets to the end, and I'm like, oh, so this was literally about nothing. Okay, cool, thanks.
It's just like watching Seinfeld.
Yeah.
It's like about nothing.
I can't get behind that. I don't like when people say about nothing. Like, when you're spending time
but I just,
with
I'm
a
like,
character.
I didn't get what we were doing at all when we get to the
what
end.
What was There's, Seinfeld about?
It was about the dealing with social norms and mores. And
there you go.
It's a show about nothing.
No, there's a lot.
It's a farcical comedy of manners.
That is true. That is fair.
Yeah.
All right. So plot of this twisty turny.
So these three characters, right? So John David Washington and Christian Bale. Well, I guess we'll start with Christian Bale. He marries into this very affluent family and is in love. And there's love between the husband, between him and his wife. There is no love between the father-in-law and Christian
Bale. I think there's some racism. I believe he is Jewish.
He's half Jewish.
He's
half Jewish, half Catholic. And,
oh, God.
And you also need to remember that back then, being Catholic was not looked well upon.
Really?
Oh, what?
Like,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Being Catholic?
Like, yes.
Oh.
Sorry, Joe. I know this was news to you.
It isn't. For real.
Yeah. Like, no, I mean, people thought Catholicism was like a cult. And like,
wow. Well,
yeah, I mean, but I mean, you know, like it has a lot of rituals.
It
and
does.
There's a lot of fancy outfits that you don't see in these other churches.
That's
and so
fair.
People that and it's kind of a closed community, especially back then. Some of it was closeted
too.
Well, and some of it was because other people didn't want to be a part of it because they thought it was weird. So then they don't join it. So then they're like, see how closed they are. There's that element as well.
Okay.
But Catholicism, even to this day, is not an evangelical religion, right? Like, they don't try to get people to join. They just tell you you can't use birth control and they make all they want.
Well, they also, we just make new ones.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like, they're like, oh yeah, just have eight kids there. We don't need to convert anybody.
We got eight more.
We're playing the long game. But no, so like, I mean, remember like, not remember because we weren't alive, but if you'll recall when Kennedy ran, it was very controversial.
Oh, yes.
Because they thought he's going to answer to the Pope, right? Like he's sworn some allegiance to the Pope and now the Pope's secretly the president and, you know, and so,
which sounds kind of similar to what they're trying to do in this
movie. Yeah, well, I will say though, like in this, so we're based in St. Louis, and when I was a kid growing up in the city,
the arch is right there behind you.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick it up. And growing up in the city, like Catholicism was it.
Right.
You know, like it was all, obviously there were more religions, but.
But I think that's because you are Catholic and that's a very active and insular community. So that's what that's what you experience.
That's fair.
If you weren't Catholic, then you probably didn't experience that. And I kind of have a foot in both worlds because I'm not Catholic, but I went to Catholic schools. And so.
I am Catholic. Yeah. Well, not even.
And also in the city, our schools are so awful.
Not anymore.
Well, your kid goes to a magnet school. That's different.
All right.
Yeah. But
that's fair.
But the schools aren't even accredited in the city.
No.
And so if you wanted your kid to get a decent education, short of a magnet school or a charter school,
you send
them to a Catholic school.
And now you can't because they're closing them all.
Right.
That's right.
But yeah, like people were really like.
I honestly had no idea.
Yeah.
I felt like it was just a part of life.
Yeah. People. Well, yeah. Because it was a part of your life.
That's
right.
True. Yeah.
But. But no, so like Catholics were very frowned upon back then. So as much anti-Semitism as you would see, there was also a lot of anti-Catholic discrimination. But the parents were probably not any happier about the Catholic part than they were about the Jewish part.
Yeah. So they shipped this guy off to World War
I. They basically talk him into going into the army, right?
They're hoping he's going to get killed.
They're hoping he's going to get killed. That's exactly what it is.
I thought
join the meat grinder.
That's yeah. They're kind of shipping him off, and also it's like, well, if he comes back, he's going to be more decorated, or you know, at least he'll have that to.
He brought something back with him. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, and instead he lives through it and comes back deformed
and kind of a drug addict.
Yeah,
you know.
So but while he's over there, he meets John David Washington.
They're both injured pretty badly. And they have like they had beds.
But he goes
to
fight with the all black platoon.
Yes, they assign him as the medic to like the all black platoon. And I thought I remember like the sergeant being like, "You can save him or you can't." I don't really whatever.
Right, like
whatever
they,
you do with
the them. The white army person. I'm sure it's got an official name,
sergeant.
But that's in charge of the black troop. Like basically, like don't care. They're not allowed to wear American
uniforms.
Yeah, they're
wearing
French uniforms. Yeah.
Yeah, and
but that's where he meets John David Washington and Chris Rock, and you get a lot of characters that came back to the States and they form business relationships with and are around for the movie.
And the guy whose murder drives the action.
He's like a general.
He's a general.
I don't know because he's not in that platoon with him, but he's some kind of commanding
officer. He formed
it. He's the one that formed it.
He's white. It's played by Ed Begley Jr., but he's white and formed this all black battalion or whatever. And so
is that Ed Begley Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was an interesting scene to watch because for me, Ed Begley Jr. is most well known from being on St. Elsewhere.
Sure.
And he's just been in Better Call Saul is what most people know.
Yeah,
from
and
recently.
He was on Arrested Development, mm-hmm. but he's been working. Actor,
yeah,
years and years and years.
Like Better Call Saul just ended,
right?
And he was one of the big lawyers in that show, and so you would recognize him from there if you don't know the name.
But what I found interesting in this scene is that he was on St. Elsewhere, which is where
Denzel Washington
got his start.
Oh, that's
the show
that's
that made him famous.
In this movie, I go, man, he sounds just like his dad. And Kitty goes, who? And I go, he sounds just like his dad. Who's that? Denzel Washington, what? And she closes her eyes and just listens. She's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm like, he talks just like him. The delivery, the sound of his voice.
He's got the same cadence.
It's a little lighter, but the cadence is identical. And so if you close your eyes, if you don't look, it could be either one.
Did we see him in Tenet?
He's the star of Tenet.
Yeah. And so, Black Klansman.
He's really good.
Yeah,
he's been
in. That was so good.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
So both of them get injured pretty badly. John David Washington.
They're both shrapnel in their backs.
Yeah.
His face gets messed up. Christian Bale loses the eye and has
like
scars.
Parts of his face. His back is all scarred up. And they just. Margot Robbie ends up showing up as a nurse.
See, I love all the quirkiness of this. Like, you think she's a French nurse and she's speaking French, and they meet and she speaks English perfectly. And he's like,
yeah.
I thought you were French. She's like, no.
Which is
like,
what
there's just so much of that.
What led me to believe this was a con movie. Is because she, I felt like she was
slipping it out of characters.
And she was conning her way into.
She steals a key and they escape. She forges papers. They lock them in. So it could have been the setup for a really good con
movie.
That's what
I thought, and it wasn't.
But it's like all the ingredients were there. You have this great cast and the quirky comedy works really well. And I like the three of them together.
I like the three
There's
of them
another
together.
Thruple for you.
Yeah, right.
of sorts. This was a platonic thruple.
Well, halfway.
Yeah, I mean,
two-thirds of the way.
Margot Robbie and John David Washington's characters are together, and they're all really close, but Christian Bale is married, mm-hmm. and he respects that.
Are they hiding their relationship?
Yeah, because and the whole thing that carries throughout the movie is that if they go back to America, she can't be with a black man.
But even right. Were they hiding it from Christian Bale?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
They were all so close and together. Like it was.
There was that scene where they're back in America, and I guess they are seeing each other. They being Margot Robbie and John David Washington, seeing each other for the first time.
She's hiding from the rich folk, Rami Malek.
Yeah, yeah. But like, there's a scene where they're. Yeah. Like face to face, and Christian right. Bale kind of comes around the corner. He's like,
they don't
"Hey,
know
what
who,
are you guys
no,
doing?"
They don't know who it is, and so okay. they like jump, like okay. they're trying to hide their relationship from Rami Malek and who's
Anna Taylor-Joy.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so many people in this movie.
There's a lot of people
and
in this
Mike
movie.
Mike Myers, Michael Shannon.
Who Mike Myers is kind of
he's doing his like
Inglourious
Basterds British guy. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
I was like, can't they just hire a British guy? Like, I look,
you know, you can
I love
Myers.
That Mike Myers is getting work. Like, that's great.
When he's dancing in his underwear on the sand dance thing, I'm like, I love this. Is like, I mean, I really liked I Heart Huckabees, and
this reminds me a
that
lot
movie's
of that.
Very got the quirky humor, right? Yeah. I love Jason Schwartzman, and you know, that's just a really quirky, funny movie. So I love that type of humor, and I like to see him inject it. This was sillier in the beginning, more than like American Hustle or The Fighter.
Yeah.
Even things with comedy elements, like this actually got the silliness.
Yeah.
And I thought the three of them were great. So they go to Amsterdam after the war, they all escape together, and they're in this like thruple, so to speak, and they're just best friends, and they're dancing, going out, and Margot Robbie's an artist. Mm-hmm. She takes the shrapnel that she got from the soldiers' bodies in the war, and she makes art, which I thought was hilarious. She's so kooky.
When that detective's like, why would you do that?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
But she's so funny. She poses with all of her art. She's making tea sets out of it and all these like crazy, crude, you know, abstract things. But like, it's just, you can tell she's very odd and silly.
Yeah.
And it's a fun, plays a fun character. And so she's making all this art. And so they're having this great life in Amsterdam. And eventually it's like Christian Bale realizes like, I got to go home. The war's over. I am married. Like, I got to go
I gotta
do
get
something.
Out of here.
Yeah. Not because it's like going bad, but he's like, okay, they're together. We're having fun, but like, this isn't my life.
Right.
Like,
I have a life back home.
Yeah. So Margot Robbie says,
I got to go back to this wife that doesn't care about
yeah,
me.
Yeah. No kidding.
But Margot Robbie has this feeling. She's like, if you leave, bad things will happen. And so that kind of sets
what?
The wheels into motion. And so he goes back home to help other soldiers.
Yes.
He dedicates his life. He's a doctor. That's what he was a medic in the army.
Was he a doctor? He was a doctor before he left, right?
It sounds yes. like, he was.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And so he became a medic, and then he goes back home, but he decides he wants to focus on veterans and the people that he can help, like he was helped, and you know, John David Washington's character had, you know, so he's making prosthetics and all this stuff, but he's realizing that the medicine he needs for his patients hasn't been invented yet. So he starts experimenting with all these different types of drugs.
Yeah, he's like mixing pills and elixirs, yeah.
The medical board does not like this sort of thing, yeah. And especially when you're like injecting, I don't know if it's heroin or like whatever he's injecting, he's using the stuff to test
good.
It, and he's kind of getting hooked. He is helping people, but he's also, you know, doing all this.
Right. So basically what happens is the father-in-law says, you can't help these people here. You got to go.
This idea of love for veterans mm-hmm. is a relatively recent
sure.
phenomenon. Like, it used to be like veterans were like, well, it's thanks for fighting that war, but also sure. the people that are willing to go do that stuff, like, well, we don't want them around.
Right.
You know, so like that's a relatively recent yeah. phenomenon.
When you're a part of this family, this rich family, and now you're experimenting with drugs and passing out and doing stuff that the medical board, I mean, that's a legal practice.
Right.
He can't be doing that under the right. father's name.
And so. He's like renting like space in the father's yeah. house or wherever that
so
was.
He says his main practice becomes the alley.
Yeah, right. But we should say that when the father-in-law kicks him out, yeah. he kind of like looks at his wife. He's like, hey, you want to step in here anytime now? Yeah. And she was like, no, don't go back to the apartment and get your stuff. I'll have it shipped to you.
Yeah, she's very much on her family side.
Yes.
Yeah. She does not want to lose the luxuries and
right.
the benefits.
So, yeah. So he ends up overdosing in an alley. And then somehow he ends up back with like John.
Cops
David,
pick him up.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Put him in the pokey, and then back in Amsterdam, John David Washington and Margot Robbie are living their life, having a great time. And he's like, we have to help them.
But how do they know that he's messed up? How do they know he's in jail? They're just saying
the word gets back. I don't really know, but okay. However they kept up with each other, maybe they got a letter or something, but he finds out about it. And then he's like, you always say you have a rich family. And she's like, well, if I communicate with them, they're going to know where I am and try to get me back in. And he's like, we've got to help them. They made this pact
right.
that they would all be together and do everything together as these best friends. And
we should say that John David Washington is a lawyer.
Yes. Yeah. Well, he wanted to go to America to become a lawyer. He wasn't in Amsterdam, but that was he's like, I want to leave and become a lawyer. Like, he can't do it in Amsterdam. He's like, I want to go back and help soldiers and things. Okay. So he leaves to go to America, and he's like, we've got to help him, and you can do it. And she's basically like, well, this had to come to an end some point. Right. You know, once I go back there, I'm going to be in with my family.
They suck me back.
They
in.
Can't be together by the. Oh. Society, they just can't. Right. Maybe it's illegal actually back then.
1933.
Would it be illegal? For
yeah, her? Because interracial marriage wasn't legalized right. until like I think the mid to late 50s with yeah. Love versus Love, the yeah. State of whatever.
That's
yeah.
what I was trying to. So Same so to it's illegal. It
took that long.
They cannot by the law be together. So that's the end of it. And then that is kind of the background that while we're in the middle of the stuff that we haven't gotten to yet, but they flash back to that. So chronologically, right. That catches us up, and they're there for it's like 10 or 12 years, something like. A yes. decade in America, so you know,
and they're both doing their thing.
His practice has gone to crap. John David Washington has become a lawyer, and you know they're working with Chris Rock is there, and a bunch of people from the platoon, and so
right.
They've all got businesses established in the New York area.
They're doing all right,
yeah.
And then they being our two main characters are paid a visit by someone who I didn't realize was Taylor Swift until she gets hit by a car. It's that scene where they're on the street talking, like, and I was like, finally, I was like. Is
that's
that
exactly
Taylor
how
Swift?
Taylor Swift yeah. gets hit by a
yeah.
car.
Like, oh, yeah, look at that. Her skull is never, oh, ever yeah. getting back together.
Ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's ever. Like she's under a car. No, you don't even see her. So I'm like,
come on, shake it off.
Look at you. That's pretty good. The scene on the street. When
don't
they,
sing that hate, hate, hate song. We're going to get sued.
Who well, we sued? Can't afford to sing the songs yeah. like that.
I know, but if you say it.
I don't know if what I do would count as singing anyway.
Because there's like a R&B or like a girl group that did a hate, song. Hate, hate thing. Yeah.
That's all. Sure. Why not?
You know how it is. That's, you get a lot of that these days.
Of course. So Taylor Swift comes to them and basically says, look, I need you to do an autopsy. My dad has
Should
died.
We spoil it? So
yeah, yeah I
Margot
guess.
Margot Robbie has been like, even though she's well, they don't know she's home or where right. she is, but she has been in, is it New Jersey? They're in New York. She's been like right around. I think it's New Jersey.
She's been
the
pulling
whole
the strings this entire
Her
time.
Her family, and she lives, so she's been kind of watching them, keeping up with them, but they can't be together, and obviously it would just be heartbreak. So like but she knows of them, and she sends her friend to go get help. And because
well, her best friend's dad has passed, has died.
Is the
and that is Egg Bagley.
That's exactly. Right. So she says, like, well, these guys knew him and they're good guys and one's a lawyer.
And Taylor Swift is like, this doesn't make sense. Like this him dying like this does not make any
sense.
He was
healthy.
We need a second opinion.
Which also in these cases, I'm like, he's really old.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, but it's just yeah. like when you're like, oh, this couldn't, he was healthy, but it's like, but also.
It's
like,
also 1933.
Right.
Yeah. And he's
yeah,
been
like,
old for 1933.
Like I mean, Ed Begley Jr. is old by today's standards. And so, because he's got to be in his 70s, mid to late 70s, I would think.
So easily. I'm like, no offense, but when you say like, oh, he was healthy, I'm like, okay, but.
In 1933.
Anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway.
They go and they do the autopsy.
Zoe Saldana.
Yes, right. They give the results to Zoe Saldana. And
he's works. 73.
Okay.
So he definitely was not living in 1933.
Yeah, that's
he
definitely.
He was not making it that far.
Definitely past the life expectancy.
He'd be like the oldest man alive.
I just don't feel like his daughter at that age would be like, well,
totally
no
right.
way.
What are the chances?
He has an apple and an orange juice every day. He's healthy. Like,
he
eats his oatmeal.
He has a cigarette and a brandy every right. day in 1933. But yeah, Zoe Saldana basically says, he was murdered.
Like and this
he,
part's funny and quirky, right? Like, I just love the humor of you've got 2 hours to do this autopsy, and then Chris Rock comes, and oh, you've got a white man in a box without a lid on it, and they're bumping it into the are they like in a church or something, an altar, and there's like,
oh,
they
is
cart
they
their
were?
Body into, I don't know, like an altar, and they're bumping it into the pews, and
yes.
trying to get out. They have 2 hours to do an autopsy, get the body back, and this is all hush hush, and you know, and it's just funny. They're under this time.
No, I like this feels
right?
kind of. This
is kind of heisty.
This feels kind of Raising Arizona ish.
Yeah, they're trying to pull this off. So they go to do the autopsy. Zoe Saldana is helping them, and she's really good in this role, and they perform it, and they find out they scoop, get into the stomach, and it's right. gross. They show the
yeah,
body cavity.
Yeah.
And,
yuck.
And but anyway, they cut open the stomach, and she fishes some stuff out, and she before we get the test results that we eventually find out are different poisons, but she's like, yeah, this is someone's been diluting or someone's been dosing him over time, and he's got a lot of these substances
right.
in his stomach.
So they figure out that this guy's been murdered. they're going to tell Taylor Swift, like, look, this is what we found. As they're walking down the street, some...
After 5 p.m.
Correct.
Just to be clear, I don't know if you caught that.
I did not catch that. Did they do that on purpose?
She said it like four times. She just, they just kept me after 5 p.m. at the... I can't believe I can't remember the name.
Okay. So as they're walking...
Was it Minx?
The Minx? Something. Yeah, I can't remember, but it's just funny. She kept saying it. It was like kind
it's
of
a great
quirky
name for a strip club. As they're walking... Somebody is like walking towards them and then pushes Taylor Swift into the street. And
Timothy Olyphantastic,
who I didn't realize it was him.
You did?
Well, he had like those
he's older and
yeah, they dead. Dye his. He's got yeah. wearing a like a reddish blonde wig.
How could you not know it was
well,
him?
Well, until though, you Joe. See him up front, you're yeah. like, oh, there he is.
But they go and she's not there and they see her out the window. So then I'm like, oh, they're being set up or something. But really, she's just scared. People have been coming up to her and saying, you don't look into this, you know, whatever.
Leave this alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she's pushed into the street and her head is squished. I mean, like, I'm not even kidding.
I was like, oh, my
her
gosh.
Head getting squished.
Yeah, that was interesting because I couldn't see the
cut. It's not
cut.
There is none. Yeah. Like they it must have been a CG or something to where the camera just
or
the camera goes right.
I guess
to,
it does. Does
her,
you
and
see
goes
her
under the,
fall under the car and get yeah. run over. Like it was a really good shot. I was
really
like,
good. They
I
do it twice. Like, you yeah. see it in the back half of the movie too, yeah. and I'm like, that looked real. Yeah.
So then Timothy Olyphantastic says they did it. Our two main characters
are like,
this
is horrible. Yeah.
What?
I'm
no
like, oh
way.
God.
Whoa.
He just starts pointing and they did it. And everyone's like, yeah, they did it. He stole her purse, you know, because he was just holding it for her. Now, you know, and then you have a black man, which
right.
at the time.
Right.
Happy 500th run, Crystal.
Yeah, Crystal must have got a shout out because she's screaming in there.
Either that or the house is on fire again, but I don't hear the alarm.
Yeah, we didn't hear the alarm this time around. We were two episodes in a row yeah. with fire alarms.
That was weird.
So.
So anyway, everyone's like, yeah, they did. Oh, it's the Back to the Future. That man just stole his wallet. It's the same.
That guy just stole his wallet.
Yeah. So they're running away. And then again, you know, it's this quirky. They're on the run, ducking into an alley. And then this is where they break and go back in time. We've already told you that part. And then now they're like, what are we going to do? And they go back to the wife's apartment.
Correct. And this is such an awkward scene. Because I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah.
Initially, I was like, okay, she...
Well, he thinks there's a dinner party.
Well, but that's true.
He's got flowers. Yeah. He thinks he's at a dinner party. And then she's like, there's no dinner party.
What are you talking about?
Like, and then you're like, what is their relationship? Because she's so cold to him. And then she's like, you're scarred and ugly.
Yeah, so like...
she's a horrible person. She's like a rich elite. Like, she does not really care about
but
him.
She was... definitely aroused at touching his scars.
It's weird. I don't know. It's just weird.
And she's, like, running him down.
She's, like, mean and horrible, but then they're, like, hooking up.
I mean,
I think it's one of those things where she is still in love with him, but her world is telling her not to be in love with him, and so she's conflicted.
Right.
But she feels, even since the time he got sent off to war, like, she's very much on the rich, elite
side. Yeah, she doesn't want to give things up, but she still loves him and would like him to be around.
Yeah.
But...
she likes the idea.
But not enough to give up
it's
the money.
I really like the thing they say. It's really what they say. Was it Margot Robbie or who talks to him in the beginning about when you love someone, love is not needing someone, it's choosing them.
Yes.
And so
she brings that. Yeah. He says that to
she
her.
She needs him. She's not choosing him. She needs him because of society and he's her husband, but she's not choosing him or else they'd live together and they'd have a, she'd fight
he,
for him. And
does he whip that back at her?
Yeah. Later on it comes back, okay. Which I really like that line.
I thought this was very awkward where she's like, let me see your scars.
Yeah.
And he was like, aww.
And then she
gets all David Cronenberg
over
it.
She did. Yeah. Absolutely. She definitely was like rubbing his scars and talking. Yeah. To him the whole time. I was like, this is kind of cucking the poor guy, but all right.
And they're hooking up, and then John David Washington bursts out.
I'd love that too, where he's like, hey, knock it off.
Christian Bale is Burt Berenson. Margot Robbie is Valerie Vose, which we find out,
correct,
who is a Ritchie family that she
I do
forgot
like
to
that
mention.
Where he's like something Rose, and she was like, how about Vose?
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, that makes more sense.
And John David Washington plays Harold Woodman.
That's right. So they realize they go to the Vos. So they're trying to figure this out. They're trying to figure out like who this guy was with the last time.
And so, Andrea Risenborough plays Beatrice Vandenhoovel. If that's not a fancy.
I love that name so
Vandenhoovel.
Much. Vandenhoovel. Vandenhoovel.
Sounds like a Dr. Seuss character.
So, but they go to her because she's in high society. Right. And then.
And they know that this general ran like in that crowd.
Yeah. So she's like, there's no Rose. You want Vos. You right. misheard. And meanwhile, though, the detectives show up.
These two guys are my favorite. Like, honestly. Of all of the characters, and besides the other three, like these two are my favorite.
Yeah, they're
I love these.
They
detectives.
Are funny, and I really like. So there's Matthias Schoenaerts plays Detective Lem Getweiler, and he's
that's another great name.
He was in, I guess I don't. He wasn't in their platoon, but they both served, and
they knew each other because they know. Like he knows about. Met the meds.
Well, he treats him. Yeah. He's his patient. I don't know if they were in the war together, but he definitely treats him, and they have a similar injury. They both wear these back braces and these harnesses that come into play multiple times throughout the movie.
Yep.
And so this detective is like, you know, they're patients and they're kind of friendly, but he's also like, hey, you were at the scene of a crime, and everyone says you killed these
people.
You've
been fingered for a murder.
Yeah, like, there's only so much that I can do here. And then you have this doofy rookie detective, and they keep giving him crap because he has flat feet, so he couldn't serve. And I love how it just keeps coming back. Christian Bale's like, hey, we know, like, we went over and served in the war and got injured and all this. I know you couldn't because of your flat feet. You know,
it's the most, like, passive-aggressive.
It is. He's clearly calling him out for it. But then this doofy guy is like, he's a rookie and he's feisty. He just wants to arrest him. Let me
punch him. And they're like, whoa.
And he's picking up stuff at, like, fancy glass candy holder, whatever,
like thing, yeah.
dropping them, and the wife's getting mad at him. And then later he picks up that, you know, one-of-a-kind tea set that he got from Margot Robbie. And I'm like, oh, my God, don't break that. Who knows? But he's a doof, and he's just trying to arrest him and get at him. And the other detective's like, hey, you know, like,
let's work the case.
Yeah. And he's also like, hey, I'm giving you some leeway and we're friends, but also like
because he's a junkie.
That's it. That's it. Right. He doesn't want to arrest his dealer.
Right.
That but it's also thing. Like, that is the medicine he's treating everyone with. That's the way that Christian Bale does medicine is he creates this stuff, and this guy's in a lot of pain like him, but he's getting something out of it for sure.
Yes.
But he also has to answer, like, there's a murder and this guy is the prime suspect.
They have
these
a
two
lot
are the
of people.
And I like how he's like, how do you know it was us? It could have been anyways. Like, I don't know. A guy picking up his glass eye with his black attorney. Yeah. That's a pretty specific profile.
That's pretty good.
Like, that kind of quirky comedy reminds me of the earlier David O. Russell stuff, or even like the Coen brothers. You know, like, this movie really starts off in that
Silver
quirky...
Linings Playbook also has some really funny stuff.
It is funny, yeah.
Yeah. So,
because like Jennifer Lawrence's character, like, she's dealing with some serious stuff,
yeah,
but she's also quirky and funny and likable.
And you've got the, you know, the parent, you've got Bradley Cooper and the De Niro there and all that good stuff.
It's a great movie.
Oh, it is De Niro in that.
Yeah,
he's the dad. Yeah. That's right, yeah. So
They go to Vos.
They
pretend to be, like, they're half-truth. They pretend to be some kind of religious charity.
Yeah, something or
other. But meanwhile, the whole through line of this movie is that they are in charge of, like, the reunion for their platoon, and they're having a big reunion celebration.
There's a big veteran celebration. And they
need a speaker
because the other
it was Ed Begley Jr.
Begley Jr. was the speaker, and so
they don't have a speaker.
He's not available now.
Right. So now we're introduced to Rami Malek and Anya Taylor-Joy, and this is where we find out that Margot Robbie is still around, and she is the sister of Rami Malek.
Yeah.
And
she busts in, and she's all drugged up and just comes out, and then it's like, oh, crap. Well, and they notice that in a cabinet there's some weird art.
Right.
And we've seen this art the whole time. He's like, where did you get that? And then all of a sudden, here she comes. And
we're saying that family was doping her up on purpose,
They
right?
were. So, spoilers, the whole time she has been basically poisoned.
Right.
And she's...
Very much like somebody's dad. Right? It's the same stuff that they were given Ed Begley Jr.
Well,
I don't think the same stuff, because they were trying to kill
him.
They're trying to convince her that she's sick.
That's right.
But they, whoever's behind all this is not above dealing out dangerous poisons and medicines.
Wouldn't even worry about it.
Yeah.
They realize that they need to get to this general who was like the most decorated.
They want him to be their speaker.
Correct. Then they want him to be like the leader of this thing.
Well, so we don't really know this yet, but the bad guys want him to be the president, like,
basically
the puppet.
They want him to be Hitler.
Well, okay, a dictator.
Mussolini.
Yes, that's right. But they do say at one point, they're like, look, this is working over in Germany.
Right.
Yeah, like, they're trying to follow the path that Mussolini took to power.
Right.
And so, because because it worked in Italy, and so, and he makes the trains run.
Oh, did
on
they
time.
Have like a democracy at first or something?
I think,
and then
so.
He took over.
Yeah,
like, okay.
And so they're kind of following that gotcha. Model.
And they're also like, I'm Sicilian, so I don't know.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's this up and comer in Germany.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is later on, but these are the spoilers. Yeah. But we find out that Vos is like, I can't get involved with this something something society, whatever, but you should go get this general.
He's like,
wink, wink.
He's like, yeah, he's like, I won't vouch for you to the police, but if you get this guy to speak at your thing, now your cachet is raised and I will vouch for
correct,
you.
Yeah. Correct. So they being our three main characters, work this plot where they know where he went, and the general is Robert De Niro. They know where he lives, and they're like, we just have to go talk to him.
And this guy's based on a real dude.
And they show, yeah. I will say, they show yeah. footage of this real guy at the end of this movie.
And the speech is pretty much, De Niro's doing it pretty much word for word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they go, and of course the wife is like, nope, no photographers, no press, no nothing. And they're just like, oh, damn it.
Well, I mean, just real quick, because it's important to the plot. So they're supposed to go meet the general one day, and John David Washington, Margot Robbie don't show up.
Oh,
Chris
Brown's
like, where the hell are they? And we find out through a flashback
that
Timothy Olyphantastic is tailing them.
Well, they see him, right?
Outside their house.
Yeah.
And they follow him. Once he leaves, they actually follow him to a hospital, and they're doing sterilization.
Yeah. So what is that?
Eugenics.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. So okay. It's like that was a very common belief back then. I mean, Thomas Edison was a proponent of eugenics.
Right.
So of just basically like, well, if some of us aren't as good as others, let's just not let them breed.
Let's and end the
that,
bloodline.
That will solve the problems. It's
And were they paying the like, why were these people just volunteering to go?
They must give them something.
I don't know if they were paying them or if they even fully knew what was happening.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
I don't know.
I wonder how they get them.
Well, either way, this is the first time we see like the 5 points of whatever.
Well, yeah. So we see that symbol, which looks like a swastika. It's a 5 turned sideways. So it's like a hook.
It's like two interconnecting fives. Like, yeah.
And then as soon as you see it, you're like,
So obviously there's something.
That is.
There's some nefarious organization pulling the strings.
Yes.
They're all being tailed. They're killing people. And, you know, they've killed the general, killed his daughter. There's a lot of bad stuff going on. And now there's this organization. So we know there is someone's pulling the strings, some big deep whatever, but we don't know yet at this point.
We don't know.
But they get out of there. They run into Timothy Olyphantastic. And so he's chasing them out, and they get away. They're getting shot at and all
this
stuff.
Can't wait for that Justified movie. God, bring it on.
But so they all get back together, and they're like, okay, we got to get to the general.
Yeah.
This is getting crazier than we ever thought.
Right. So the general's wife is like, absolutely not. And then she realizes they're not photographers, and she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Come on in. And I think she's great. Like, I think
she's
so funny.
Funny
where she, you know, she's like, I call him General on every day but Sunday, yada, yada.
What do you call him? That's very
that's,
personal.
That's none of your business. And I like the way he opens the door and he was like, she's crazy, but I love her.
Yeah.
So they go, they meet him and they say, but they haven't met him, right? Is it?
They met him at
the veteran.
They met
him briefly, but like a meet and greet.
Sure.
He wouldn't know. That's like, if you met someone at Comic-Con and then you're like, hey, remember me?
I've met Bruce Willis, but, well, that's a bad example.
I've met Jason Momoa, but.
Yes. Yeah.
I think I did. I couldn't really tell if it was him with the sunglasses and
his hair tucked under a hat.
That is a burr in your saddle that has been there since it happened.
I don't blame him. When I met Bruce Willis,
it was Bruno.
Right after he had shaved his head, so he hadn't made any movies with a shaved head yet. Like now, that's a very common.
You were ahead of the time.
But I was like, I met Bruce Willis, and nobody's gonna know that it's even him because it doesn't look like him. And now. He spent the next 20 years making movies bald. And so now you go back and look at it and you're like, oh, that's Bruce Willis.
So you got
but
the
initially,
best of worlds, but you got young Bruce Willis with the bald
and
head.
I will say, I saw a tweet the other day, moonlighting.
It's coming.
That's
pretty fun. Interesting to see. That's a lot of music rights and big songs.
Yep.
I mean, they use Sympathy for the Devil in that.
That is not.
There's
a
Billy Joel song that he wrote for Moonlighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Big Man on Mulberry Street.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, that was specifically commissioned. So I mean, there are big, big, big songs in that show, and so
well,
I would
think Disney's bankrolling it.
Is that who's doing it?
Yeah.
I think so. They have the rights to it.
Oh, ABC. It was an ABC show, right?
Yeah, and I think it was produced by the network. Like most shows aren't owned and created and owned by the network. They're through licensing companies and production companies. But I think that one was
okay. Cool.
So hopefully, I
look forward to watching it.
Besides it being a great show, I don't know what it does for them if they do spend all these tens or hundreds of millions. Like, what do they really get out of that? I mean, yeah, they get a good show, but like, does that equate to 100 million subscribers? Or like, you know what I mean? How do they even make that worth it? I don't know.
That's a good question.
I hope they do. I just don't know the business.
It's a fantastic show.
Or it's a big write-off and they get a great show.
That's
I don't know.
That's also a good point.
Right? Because if they have to spend all that money, that is just a tax write-off.
Yeah, like, it's for your business.
Yeah. So anyway.
I got the DVD. So
that's a write-off. Yeah,
I know.
Do you know what that means?
Sell them before they streaming, though, because the value.
But I'm afraid it's going to hit streaming and one, not stay on streaming. Two, I'm not sure that they're going to get all the songs.
Sure.
Like, no, a lot of times
your DVDs have all the songs on them.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah. So it's like a lot of times, like when they get a lot of the songs, but not all of the songs.
Right.
You know?
If you watch SNL on when it was on Netflix, no music.
Yeah, they cut all the musical acts.
They cut it all out.
Yeah. I didn't know it was on Netflix.
Yeah. It was for a while. Probably not now. It's on.
Yeah.
Now.
So the it's general. Is
oh yeah.
Like,
he's like, hey, you sang a song when we were
the
there.
Nonsense song was great. It was really cute.
I
love their relationship. It's just cute. Just, like when they're in overseas during the war, they flash.
I like the idea of this movie way more than I actually like the movie.
Really?
Like I like what they're trying to do, but it just
it never really gels
for
me. It's not all the way there, but I did like that starting stuff. And we saw in a flashback them pulling words out of a hat and they have to sing a song about them.
Right.
And so apparently when they met the general at this meet and greet, they sang the song. So he's like, I'll know it's you. Cause how do I, from this fuzzy news footage or this newspaper. He's like, it's you can't tell who these people are.
There was no news
and
footage.
So he's like, prove it. And they're singing a song. He's like, nope, not that one. Okay. And they're like, wait a minute.
Was it in French?
Yeah. And they sing it. And he's like, yep, that's the one.
So he agrees to meet him. And Christian Bale, to his credit, says, look, something nefarious is going on and we need your help.
And he's like, meanwhile, there's a guy with a briefcase of $18,000 that comes
downstairs,
sitting in my foyer all day, every day. Like, will you do this speech? So
and actually, I liked that part too, where he was like, "Hey, who do you work for?" Nah, I can't tell you that.
Yeah.
But finally, he accepts.
This part was lazy, and this is where I think it really starts to fall apart. Where, like, when he lets it slip, it's just so.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It
yeah.
felt so.
But it's also
obvious.
Like, we already know. Like, you don't need to let it. I agree with you.
Yeah, that's. But like,
we already
the,
know what's
he's
going
like, oh,
on.
The five. I mean, the whatever. It's like it just
the
I don't
Nazi
know.
Party. I mean, the.
I didn't like the delivery of it. It was too obvious and too much. Like, oh, we've got to get a clue out here for the
audience.
It's almost like
it's one of those things that I kind of complain about, where it's like your audience is smart enough. Just let them.
They
figure
didn't
it
let
out.
Them or us solve it. And we already knew something was going on. They're like, oh, let's just let the guy make a goof and tell you. And it's like, we knew it was the fiber behind it.
Right.
And they could have put the clues together in a smarter way. I don't know. It was just a weird thing that sets them off. I'm like, oh, well, the fiber behind this. And then from there, it's
so
like.
So they go to Rami Malek. I thought this was a fun scene at this office where he's got the towels on the wall. And everybody's like, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
With the reveal later is the towels are covering pictures of Hitler, Mussolini, and. Was it Stalin? Probably.
It had
to be. Right?
Was Stalin around yet? I don't remember. No, because I don't think they would have looked up to Stalin, because at this point, Russia would be gearing up to be part of the Allied powers, not the Axis powers. So
okay.
Either way, Hitler and Mussolini were front and center in those pictures. So it's like, oh, yeah. The bad guys. Yeah. They've got it.
Right. But we don't know until the end in the reveal. And now in the end is about 40 minutes through this reunion thing. So, but doesn't
they go
come
to, yeah, they, he, so.
But we see who is under those and, you know, spoilers. And you kind of know the whole time.
Of course you do.
Rami Malek's playing this character in a way to where you're like,
no offense to Anna Taylor-Joy. She is a Aryan dream.
that is
a big old red flag,
and she's just an awful person the whole time.
Oh, the worst.
She's funny though.
She is funny.
Oh, very good.
I thought
actor.
She was the funniest part of the movie.
She is very funny, but the character is awful.
For
and
sure.
Awful to Margot Robbie, and anyway, and also, but the funny part of her enamored. Not, that's too light of a word. She wants the
general. Wants to bone Robert De Niro.
And Rami Malek's like, you never talk that
she
way, Rami.
Like, your hands are so strong and firm.
It won't let go.
Like, yeah, won't let go.
But anyway.
So De Niro agrees. Yeah. And he knows that like he's fought in this war. And he actually says something that I thought was kind of interesting to John David Washington when they're in the house. He's like, it's a shame that they wouldn't let you wear the American uniform.
Yeah.
And I was like, interesting. Okay, like that's an. He's like, you fought for this country with everybody else.
For sure,
you should have been able to wear that.
And
uniform.
We don't know.
I mean, you still
politics.
Should marry a white woman,
right?
But
He was, but he was cool.
No, I mean, like, I'm just saying it's
when in,
it's,
in retro, in reality,
in reality, it's probably what that guy would have thought. Absolutely. But like it, you know, it's like when people, that's the problem when people apply modern day morals.
I will say,
you know,
this
like,
is very,
like, look, I'm really glad that they stormed the beach at Normandy, but none of them was going to be in favor of trans bathrooms.
Correct.
Right. So like pick your battles. In that moment, we're battling Nazis.
That isn't a part of the movie, though. I mean, his politics are very much like you would think maybe Robert De Niro's are today. They're making a statement.
Yes.
Also,
and
a
I will say this
statement.
Movie, like as we get further into it, this is kind of a shot across the bow, if you will, to the 2016, everything that happened.
Yeah.
There's
100%.
There's a lot. And
yeah.
It's
rich
not,
people pulling the strings. It's all about money. This whole now has come to us.
Idols and things
like
that.
Yeah, it's a metaphor for...
It's why I wish it worked better.
I know. Sure. And this is where I think from the point where he gets him to do the speech, because that scene was funny at the house, but then I think this is where it really falls off the wheel.
There's a lot in this room.
And then we get to... I mean, this whole third act is like...
Why are the German soldiers there?
Yeah, I don't know why they'd be at the veterans thing.
So they could reenact the scene from Casablanca?
I was like, oh, West Side Story. Got
yeah,
it.
You're right. They were like cheering back and forth.
Yeah.
It's messy. It doesn't work. That whole thing doesn't work. It's weird. Tonally is very odd.
Yeah.
This whole thing, but I mean, I swear it's 30 or 40 minutes
of
the reunion.
It's not even that. Like you get songs and you get Christian Bale singing a song.
There's like full musical numbers of people are like, we get it. There's veterans performing music, but like you don't have to show us the whole thing.
You throw
and that
in the background.
All these characters that were in the movie. So meanwhile, Michael Shannon and
Mike Myers.
Thank you. And Mike Myers. They were very funny. I did like these scenes.
I like
they
that.
Went a little long, but they were very funny. There's this whole through line. The bird thing was killing me whenever Vose tells this random story. Rami Malek tells Christian Bale's character about this guy, that this high society guy that was sneaking into cuckoo nests and like defiling them, which is against the bird watcher's code. So then he comes back and Mike Myers and Michael Shannon are talking about birds.
There's a lot
and
of
he's
bird
like,
talk.
Wait a minute. I heard a story about a guy who went in and then he's like defending it and saying like, well, blah, blah. It's very funny. It's so.
Well, cause cuckoo birds don't
exist anymore.
They don't build in their own nests.
Oh,
they take over other birds' nests. And so
work smart, not hard.
And so
they let them build the nest.
The story they were trying to claim is that Michael Shannon and Mike Myers characters were the first people to figure that out. Mm-hmm. And everyone thought that they were insane.
Sure.
And that's why he's like, history will bear me out or whatever.
Yeah,
because it was a ridiculous notion initially.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. It's very funny. And they keep talking about birds and things like they're talking about all this serious subject matter. And then they mention things about birds, and it's very funny. The two of them are hilarious.
Bird watching was a very big thing before internet.
It was like before you had anything else to do.
Right now that there are other things to do,
do
that.
It is fun to see that Mike Myers like still has it.
Yeah,
he's still got that little.
He's
snap.
Supposedly trying to make another Austin Powers movie.
What else has he got?
But I mean,
he's not making a Love Guru.
Love Guru 2.
Yeah.
But we live in the time of these nostalgia. All the people like us that grew up with. I mean, this is the time to cash in. So I don't blame him. But
so,
anyway, they're hilarious.
So he gives the speech, but he gives his speech.
But they're
like,
at the thing. The two of them are like these. They make glass of all kinds, and they're also trying to figure out. They're trying to stop this plot.
Yeah,
the two of them.
Yeah,
so
they're like spies. They won't admit it, but they.
Mike Shannon has like a.
At the end, he has a badge.
He's got a badge,
but
when you look at the thing on it, you're like,
I don't know what.
That seems made up.
I don't know what department, but they are there trying to stop.
Treasury. Well, it's the Treasury Department.
Well, he says
that's also.
He says he works for the Treasury Department, but the screen showed that he worked. They put it up on the screen that Mike Myers' character's MI6.
Yeah,
okay.
I forget what. He might have been
Treasury intelligence.
Treasury also was where Elliot Ness worked.
Yeah.
So like that, they would use the U.S. Treasury Department as like a
forgot.
The Secret Service is technically the Department.
That's
of
exactly
Treasury.
It.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I forgot. You're right though. They do. So we knew they were working.
So like
for,
that's an established fact.
Yeah.
Like that's not something we have to surmise. Like there's a screen credit that says
it freezes or whatever and says what they are. So they're there trying to stop this plot. So they're at the reunion thing. Then we meet Rami Malek brings the Christian Bale and the general in to meet with the people who are clearly we know. I mean, there's no surprise
here. There's three of them.
It's who's behind the five. There's Rami Malek. Malik is one.
These other three
guys. There's three. And they're all like telecommunications and I don't know, oil or I don't know. But they're all industry. The money, the people with all the money. Right. And they are trying to overthrow the government and instill someone that they can pull the strings. And that's where what they want the general for. And so they've written this speech for him. And they want him. Oh, and Rami Malik is, I think, the radio communications guy. Yeah. And he's like, I'm going to broadcast this all over the world. And that's where you really start to pick up the hints. Like, he's like, wink, wink, this will be heard by people you can influence and all that.
They know veterans follow him. And so that, and the veterans had staged this big protest because they didn't have benefits and the government wasn't honoring their deal and kind of forced to go. So they know, oh, if we can get the veterans on our side, then they can pressure Capitol Hill.
Sounds familiar, doesn't
it? Yeah, right.
And like, that was a real thing that I looked up that happened was when they came and they – I don't know, like tear gassed all the veterans because they were protesting about not like coming back home and then not having rights and health insurance and things like that. Like the things that were promised after they went and defended the country. And so that is at one of the things the general was at and they met him one of the two times.
Right. So he gives his, but he gives his own speech. He basically does the, what, like Tom said,
which we know it's not a surprise that he's going to give the good speech. The one about, because, oh, and Rami Malek is like, and that's another thing. They keep cutting between all the 20 characters at this thing. And one of the meetings with Rami Malek and Anya Taylor-Joy are like, if you give the wrong speech, there's very powerful people.
That's the meeting where they're looking at the three towels. That's the same meeting.
Well, that's like a flashback meeting. No, he at the party, they talk to him.
Oh,
like,
do they?
Right before he gives the speech, they're like...
They're backstage.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
because
the towels only get pulled down in a flashback.
Oh, no, I meant they were sitting in the office and saw the towels on the wall and like, what the hell
is
that?
And then later you see Malik and Joy like drinking wine and looking at the revealed things. There's so much stuff that happens. After the reveal, there's like 20 minutes of like things and hallucinations.
Basically what happens is...
He gives the speech and says, murder, the old guy has been murdered, Ed Begley Jr. has been murdered, his daughter's been murdered, there's people who want to overthrow the government.
Right.
Do not trust them, blah, blah, blah.
While all of this is going on, Timothy Olyphantastic shows back up and our other two characters see him like up on the scaffold.
Margot Robbie and John David Washington.
See him up on the scaffold. There's a fight up there. And I do like that De Niro is cool as a cucumber. This dude's firing rounds at him. He's like, hey, man, that's a bad guy.
He's
and
pretty
like,
old, too. He
does
knows.
Not. Yeah,
he's like, at Begley Jr. age. He's
does like, not. Yeah. Like, he's so cool.
I know, he's like, that man shooting at me is a coward.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, doesn't move
and
at
he's
all.
Also, yeah. And De Niro doesn't move. We know. We've seen the fight scene in The Irishman. Yeah. We know he doesn't move. But also, like, Christian Bale gets shot. And he's like, that man's been shot. Like, you know, like.
And I do like the Christian Bale. Did they tell us that he's so high that he can't feel it?
That's they say that, the stuff that he samples is supposed to remove all pain.
Okay.
And
okay.
So he gets shot.
He's like, oh, man.
But we will find out he didn't really get shot. Well, his back brace takes the bullet.
It takes the bullet for the most part.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so Timothy Olyphant falls
this
off.
This is great. Hey, John David Washington flips him over the scaffolding or whatnot.
And he falls down, and of course they
and then he's still alive. He grabs
maybe,
the gun.
Maybe, broken back. But, yeah, you know.
Quotes John Wilkes Booth.
He does, which is also like, well,
Mike, you think you're the good guys when you're trying, like you're quoting the guy who shot Lincoln.
Right.
Like that's how does that work?
Well.
So it's all revealed that Rami Malek and Anya Taylor-Joy are kind of the two people behind all of this kind of, like, conspiracy to overthrow
the
government.
Yeah.
But they're the ones that the government can get to.
But they'd been pulling the string. Mm-hmm. They sent them to go get De Niro's character purposefully.
It's like bad episode of Scooby-Doo is all I can think of. Seriously, when I'm watching this reveal, it was a Scooby-Doo where they're just like...
Well, and then when they do that thing where she shoots in the face.
I love fake outs. Like
I hate them with every fiber. Oh. It is the laziest form of filmmaking. It is so lazy. I shoot a character in the face. What? This totally upends the movie. Nope. Just kidding. I was imagining it. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I had a really good laugh at it.
It's lazy.
I think they
want some sort of big dramatic moment, but they didn't write a script that would build up to it, so they put it in there to pretend that it's there and then immediately take it back.
But I thought she screwed the whole thing up.
That's initially what I thought, too. But also, when she shoots him,
he's still standing.
I was
so
like,
can tell,
well,
it's off.
Yeah, but they're
what
not.
What the hell?
Yeah, it was dumb. It was dumb, dumb.
I like it. I like it.
It was stupid.
No,
it is.
They do that in Wayne's World. They do these.
That's
these
a very Wayne's World.
I know, but
you
but
can
this,
do it in Wayne's
but that's
World.
Part of the quirky comedy. This is the I like.
If you're gonna do it, it needs to work, and it didn't, and it's and I hate it. I hate when movies do.
Do you
it.
Hate it all the time?
Yeah. Do
you like it in Wayne's World?
Wayne's World's different. That's a comedy.
They Scooby-Doo. Wait a minute.
The Scooby-Doo ending.
They say it's the Scooby-Doo ending in Wayne's World. They do the fake ending.
I would have gotten away with
Mike
it.
Mike Myers is in this.
But they're breaking the fourth wall. It's a whole different type
yes.
of joke.
Wayne's World is a very
I'm just
movie.
Saying that this is the ending of Wayne's World, which is doing a Scooby-Doo ending.
Yeah. This is dumb.
But so basically, what happens is everybody gets arrested.
It's bad, though, because like these guys are. Just try to assassinate someone. They're getting arrested by these government spy people or whatever. Let's talk for 20 minutes. They just go back and forth in this plot and this flashback. And you're like, oh my God,
we already know.
Messy.
We get it. Yeah. Nazis are bad. They tried to do it here in America. It got thwarted.
Yeah.
Thank you very
much. We figured that out halfway through the movie. Right. We don't have to show 20 minutes of these flashes. But
is this truth? Like, because it does say that this is kind of based on things. Was there a moment in history where like,
I think so. Yeah, like
to install the Nazi party
people,
in America.
Not necessarily the Nazi party, but they were trying to have a more militaristic front. Also, remember too that like before the age of reality television, generals were celebrities. That's why you've had so many generals become president. That the military was a path to the White House, right?
Now it is literally reality television.
Yeah,
stars.
Right. It's you know, and right now, I mean, the Republicans, there's serious talk about like, oh, is Tucker Carlson gonna run?
Oh,
right? you know, Schwarzkopf is just like, ooh,
yeah,
thank you very much.
But that used to be, you've had lots of generals who either ran for president or became president.
Wait a minute, that's not true, is it?
What,
the Tucker Carlson thing?
A lot of people think that he's
guacamole.
Yeah. So I
quit.
Yeah.
But you know what? Let it happen.
Can we,
because
you know
seriously?
What? Can we just, can the
yeah,
Rock just
well,
run,
we
please?
That about a
yeah,
reality
right.
Talk show host, but
we saw how
I know,
that
but
well,
I can't imagine. Okay.
Anyway, but like that was how you got famous, right? Yeah. Before the age of radio and TV, like that
you
was
served
how
your country and won wars.
That's how you got your name in the paper.
Even sometimes lost wars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, General Custer fought that last battle because he thought, I'm going to go kill me a bunch of Indians. I'm going to be on the front page of every paper in America and I'm going to be president.
Done.
Like I'm going to win this last battle, kill a bunch of Indians. I'll be president. Done.
How'd that turn out?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was the path,
well,
you know?
It was his last stand.
It was his last stand. That is true. But, so they thwart the plot.
Custer 3, last stand.
Oh, sign me up. Let's Jason Statham as General Custer. They thwart the plot. They cannot arrest the 3 points of the 5 because they're too powerful. They do get Rami Malek.
Well, but even Rami Malek escapes. They're
those
just
guys, like
they
those
always
guys never
do.
Get in trouble.
Right.
That's
right,
the whole
right, right.
point, and they're saying even to today, because again, all this last part is very much a commentary on modern, and money rules all. They do everything for money. They get away with everything.
Yeah, and that's kind of, that's how this one ends. Oh, well, I guess there is like a romantic relationship between Zoe Saldana and...
Well, then the wife's at the thing, and she's being all bougie, and, and you know...
Now
just,
she wants him back.
She wants him back now, because he's, you put on this thing, and the general's here.
Right.
And he basically figures out, he's like... You didn't choose me. You needed me for whatever to play this role and connect you to people, whatever. And he's like, I'm done.
Yep.
I'm out,
and I'm gonna go hang out with Zoe Saldana.
Yeah,
which is a great choice.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's an upgrade.
It is an upgrade. It was fine.
And she's Portuguese, so they can be together. That's one of the jokes. Supposedly,
that's funny. This is it's a shame because like we said, his last. Well, okay, The Fighter. Silver Lining.
He's made some really good movies.
He's made some
even going to Three Kings.
Three
I heard
Kings as well. Yes.
That movie that Tom saw one time with Ben Stiller. but I think this is good and worth seeing. It's not great. It had potential, but I wouldn't say like don't see this. I think it was entertaining.
I don't think we should ever say don't see it.
Well,
you know what I mean?
But that's kind of what I mean.
I mean, there are movies that I'll tell you it's not like this is awful. Don't waste your time.
That's
but
fair.
Like this isn't awful. I wouldn't tell you to go see it, but like
if it's on streaming. Give it a look.
Yeah.
It's entertaining, but it definitely flails. And I think halfway through, especially in that third act where it's just like, we see where it's going. I think a quirky heist movie could have been really good. You know? And I think
Three Kings is a heist movie, right?
Yeah.
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 And they're getting their gold.
Yeah. And I think it's The Legend of Curly's Gold.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Ooh, that's what I thought. That's
Three Kings 2.
Yeah. 2. But I think they're trying to, they're making some good points. Like they're talking about some serious issues.
Yeah, I just wish it was better.
Yeah, it kind of didn't mesh with the tone in the beginning and goes off the rails and it's messy and too long. And,
Yeah. But, that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
This is Tom. Follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Follow the show online, Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and of course, don't forget our Patreon. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Harrison's wife leaves him.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.